This program has been described by AudioVision. For information on over 400 video and audio titles, call toll-free 1-866-966-7667 or visit our accessible website, www.audiovisioncanada.com. The contents of this program are protected by copyright and may not be duplicated or used for any commercial purpose without the express written consent of the copyright holders.
Phoenix Film presents Going Down the Road with narrative description by AudioVision Canada by Donald Shabib. Tiny fishing villages dot inlets and bays along the Nova Scotia coastline.
In the Isle of Cape Breton, my father did stay. And his father's
sunshine glints off the misty surface of a fir tree rimmed bay.
The fishing banks and digging coal.
Parched weeds grow through the weathered ties of a rail line.
Mines that don't give no.
Nearby, a derelict coal mine stands silent.
And I'm going.
Scorched fields surround a long abandoned house. A rusted jumble of discarded cars and trucks fills a junkyard. In town, a few children play on a deserted street. A young boy leans against a utility pole as a man trudges past with a lunchbox. Clothes on a line flap in the breeze beside a weather-beaten shack. A wrecked fishing boat lies in shallow water. Nearby, a battered boat hull rests on a rocky beach. As an elderly woman looks on, a dark-haired young man leaves a shabby house with two small suitcases and a guitar and deposits them in an ancient Chevy Impala convertible. A little boy watches from the house as the woman waves goodbye. Returning her wave, the young man gets into the car and pulls out of the driveway. The beat-up car has crude flames painted on its front. Further along the road, a young blonde man waits beside a duffel bag. He waves and grins, grabs the bag, and gets into the Chevy. As the two drive off, a small plane soars high above them. The old car barrels down the road. Fuzzy balls adorn the car's dashboard. The blonde man grins happily as fall foliage flashes past beside the road. The dark-haired man laughs jovially. The blonde plays with a rubber cat attached to the rearview mirror. He sits back in his seat and laughs. As the car's worn white walls roll on, the two men settle in for the ride. The dark-haired man points to passing landmarks with a stubby beer bottle. Later, head back on the seat, the blonde man dozes in the sunlight. The dark-haired man grins and yanks the cat's rubber tail. But his companion is fast asleep. Later, he awakens, guzzles a beer, and chucks the empty beer bottle out of the car. They drive on, passing roadside telephone poles as they head toward the horizon. Later, the dark-haired man jacks up the car to fix a flat as the blonde man drinks another beer.
I sure hope we're doing the right thing, that's all. Oh, for Christ's sake, Joey. I told you, my aunt and uncle had put us up. And Hanson said he'd get us a job, so what are you worrying about?
You know, I heard they were taking on guys at the cannery next week, just when we leave.
The cannery? Christ, Joey. I'm not working in any more canneries. That's why we left. You'd be working for a buck and a quarter an hour the rest of your life.
I just keep on thinking about Jerry, Mertz, and Freddy. They didn't do too good. They were back in 3 months.
Three dummies. I don't get you. When we were leaving, you couldn't get out of the place fast enough.
Now you go on about some job in the cannery. Oh, listen, Joey, it's going to be so different. There you can get all kinds of jobs. Not just sweating dirt all the time.
And the places you go, we're going to hit some night spots, have some good times. No more sitting in some restaurant all night or driving up and down Main Street looking for something you know damn well ain't there. Oh, Joey, there's going to be so much there. We won't know where to begin.
Later, they arrive in downtown Toronto.
Hey, Pete, there she is. Don't you look good?
Didn't I tell you to be great?
Ah-ha! Hey, who is this guy up in front? Pete the Horn. Come on, move it, you bum.
They drive along Richmond Street.
Look out, Toronto. Here we come.
All the way.
Hide your daughter.
Lock the door.
Because we about to drop our drawers.
Later, Joey and Pete peer into a well-appointed home.
Looks pretty dead in there, Pete. Can she cook?
I don't know. I never met her before.
Well, I'll eat anything right now.
Inside.
They've been knocking for 5 minutes now. Anyone with any sense would have given up long ago.
Her husband steps away from the window.
Oh, just look at that dreadful car.
Later, Joey and Pete drive around.
Oh, yeah, Pete, that knuckle's gonna fix it up for sure.
Oh, Canton will help us out. Stop crying for 1 minute.
And you better have those jobs waiting for us, too.
For Christ's sake, will you shut up?
Oh, yeah, sure, just shut up like that. Nothing at all. That's all we have to do is just come to Toronto, just like old Petey Boy says. Just come away. Sure, oh, there's a nice...
Lock, will you just shut up?
After dark, Pete makes a call from a phone booth.
Hi, Hanson. Hey, how are you? It's Pete. Pete McGraw. Yeah, that's right. Hey, me and Joey got in today. Oh, I don't know, for a while, I guess. Hey, how are you anyway? Long time no see. Yeah.
Pete's grin fades.
Yeah?
Outside the booth, Joey watches, concerned.
Oh. Yeah, okay.
Pete glumly hangs up. He leaves the booth.
Well, what did he say? Can he put us up?
Nah, he's only got this small place. Says we should go to the Salvation Army for tonight.
What, a flop house?
No, it's a nice place.
What about the jobs, Pete?
Oh, yeah, well, you know, says I should call him back in a few days.
In a few days? Oh, that's great. That's wonderful, that is.
Look, he's out of work himself. Things ain't so good right now. He might even go back home. Says we picked a bad time to come.
We picked? Listen, buddy boy, you're the one that told me everything was all set. The jobs are going to be waiting and everything.
Look, relax, will you? A couple of things go wrong and you start running around like a chicken with your head cut off.
Jesus, boy, we're 1,500 miles from home, and we only got $30 between us. How long do you think that's going to last?
Look, will you go sit in the car and shut up? I can't think with you flapping all over the place.
Yeah, sure, okay, I'll go sit in the car, all right, fine, yeah. First the aunt and uncle, then this and that. Ugh.
Later, at the hostel. Pete and Joey look warily at men sitting on bunk beds in a crowded dormitory.
Maybe we should go back home, eh, Pete? We only got $26 left. That's not enough to get us halfway.
Yeah, I know, but this place gives me the creeps.
I ain't gonna kill you for one night. Just gotta figure things out better, that's all.
Yeah.
No more hang-ups like today.
All the rotten luck.
Pete scans a newspaper.
Hey, what is this? There's hundreds of jobs here.
Hmm?
Look, there's all kinds of 3 pages full of them.
Here, let me see.
Hey, listen to this.
What?
Reservation agents, textile salesman, assistant manager, sales trainees. We offer excellent promotional opportunities for the right man.
The men around them listen, their eyes dull and vacant.
Management trainee, large advertising company has opening for a young man interested in the advertising business.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, now this is more like it. Son, right here, all you gotta do is go out and get it.
Hey, that looks good. Here, let me see that, Pete. $19.68 Plymouth. Out of pocket seats. Real sharp.
$16.99.
Pete happily jiggles Joey's mattress.
Hey, look at this. You can even phone up somebody if you're lonely.
You know, I wouldn't mind having a job in an office.
You have to get dressed up all the time.
Some chick for a secretary, company car, my name right on the door. Why not?
That's not for me.
In the morning, pedestrians and traffic clogged the Bay Street business district. Sporting a shirt and tie, Pete hurries along a sidewalk teeming with office workers. He crosses the street at a traffic light. Pete walks along, gazing at the city's unfamiliar sights. He peers into a store window. Then gazes up at the TD Center's lofty towers. He combs his hair before entering a busy office. The manager sizes him up with a glance.
Whatever possessed you to come here looking for a job? There's nothing in your background to suggest even an interest in advertising.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, I used to watch a lot of commercials down home on the TV. I mean, I really enjoyed them. You know, like some of those car commercials. Hey, when the GTO comes over the hill and it shoots across the desert. Oh, I like
that. Excuse me.
The manager takes a call.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, no, I'll just be a minute. Okay, I'll be right in.
Well, it's obvious you've been influenced by them, but there's a lot more to it than that. I mean, you've been a carpenter's apprentice, a house painter, 6 months with a cartage company. You don't even have a high school diploma. And the sort of job you're applying for calls for a university degree.
No, what's the sense in getting an education? I mean, do you need an education to work on the docks or in the mines? There ain't a hell of a lot to choose from in the Maritimes, you know.
Well, the only advice I can give you is go back there or go back to school.
Later, Pete wanders despondently up Bay Street. A stranger gives him directions. Later, he wearily sits on some stone steps. That night, Pete dozes in a diner.
Hey, buddy boy. Thought I was a cop, huh?
Funny. Where the hell you been? It's 1 a.m.
I live in the old town over. Hey, I got a job.
You did?
Yep. Great, that's great. You're sitting on a gun, Joey.
So where? What kind of a job?
Loading, unloading truck. Hmm? $80 a week and a swell bunch of guys, too.
Great. Now we can get a hot meal.
How'd you do? Any luck?
I couldn't find anything I liked.
Don't worry, no sweat. Listen, you get on there with me. They're hiring a heck of a lot of guys tomorrow.
Sure.
Okay?
For now, I guess it'll be okay.
Next morning, at the loading dock, Pete lifts cases of bottles under a supervisor's watchful eye.
Come on, Negro, get the lead out.
Joey works beside Pete on a soft drink bottling line.
Hey, man, you missed that one. Do it again.
Other men work on the busy line.
Come on, come on, come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Hey, Frank, here comes the call.
A big-breasted woman in a miniskirt walks onto the floor of the loading dock. Joey adds to the commotion.
Hey, Ted.
Pete turns to a co-worker.
Who's the chick over there?
Oh, yeah, that's Nicole. Comes in here twice a day, takes stock totals. Do something else, eh? Yeah.
Come on, come on, come on. Get the hell back to work.
Later, the men eat lunch in a cafeteria.
And 10 cases of beer. And by Sunday night,
he's getting the customs. Guys start turning tables over, whipping bottles around. You should have seen.
Yeah, we haven't had a good fight since we left home, Pete. Remember that night out in the pier?
What happened?
I'll tell you, that was something. That was good.
The men crane their necks as Nicole enters.
Hey, what a pair of knockers, huh?
She's French.
Boy, is she heavy.
Both of them.
Oh. You ever go out with her?
No. She's not my type.
She's a bitch. She won't even talk to us guys in the plane.
Forget about her. Wait till you see the broads on Young Street.
Yeah, do they kiss with their tongues?
They kiss with more than that.
That night, the city's bright lights dazzle Pete and Joey as they walk along Young Street with some of the guys from work. When Joey accosts a woman, the others crowd around her. The woman tries to break away, but Joey keeps hounding her. Later, the men watch as girls parade past them along the sidewalk. Pete tries to pick up a pretty young woman. Joey and Pete talk with an attractive passerby. Later, the men goof around in slow-moving traffic. The friends enter a record store. Taken aback by the bewildering array of merchandise and customers, they hover near the entrance. Pete glares disdainfully at a long-haired man.
Hey, you guys, come on down the country and western sector. It's downstairs.
The friends hurry downstairs.
Come on, Carl Travis.
But a beautiful woman sidetracks Pete.
What are you waiting for? Hey!
He follows her upstairs.
Over there. Yeah.
On the second floor, Pete looks around and sees the woman browsing in the classical section. He saunters toward her. When he draws near, she looks up and smiles, then resumes browsing. As Pete stares at her captivated, she sweeps her long dark hair off her lovely face. The woman looks at him again and smiles.
Hey, you kind of like that stuff, huh? Come here a lot?
Yeah.
I was just wondering. So I come here a lot, too. Of course, I don't know anything about classical music, but I like it, though, you know?
Well, I better go now. Bye.
As she walks away, Pete watches her go, downcast. The needle off the record player, a clerk arrives.
I, what is that thing?
Settee.
Beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah. I'll take one, sure.
With a haughty look, the clerk leaves to find the record. Soon after, Pete meets the others on the first floor.
Come on, we'll get out.
Get out of here.
What's the hurry?
I'll tell you later. Come on.
They rush outside onto the packed sidewalk and hurry away. One of the men has shoplifted several records.
Hey, what'd you do? Buy a record?
Yeah, it was half price, so I thought, what the hell?
You should have waited, man. Don would have picked you up one for nothing.
Here's the one you want, Joey. Thompson? Nice. No, that's mine. Hank Thompson.
Dumb.
Hey, come on, let's go. Let's get a beer, eh?
Later, in a tavern.
Come
toast. Gentlemen, let me propose a toast. To the women, gentlemen, to the women. To the women on Young Street.
A singer strums his guitar.
The Scotian and the Ocean Limited and the Maritime Express, their mighty engine throbbing, make the way toward the west. And the sturdy fish and schooner sway so lazily to and fro. Nova Scotia is my sanctuary, and I love it so.
Joey smiles as he listens to the music. And Pete looks on wistfully.
Far across the great dominion, I have traveled far and wide, where the shores out in Vancouver kiss the blue Pacific tide. I have crossed the snow-capped Rockies, saw the wheat fields golden blaze, then I'm back to Nova Scotia, where contented cattle graze.
They huddle together as a waitress takes a Polaroid picture.
I love to watch her burn.
Later, the group strolls along a deserted side street.
You idiot. Window, $4.
They're not selling windows.
$4 for a window.
Window, $4.
What are you talking
about? On Young Street, the men shout drunkenly at the traffic. Next morning, on the bottling line, Pete and Joey hustle cases of empties onto a conveyor belt. Soon after, the manager hands out envelopes.
Peter McGraw.
Yep.
Joey Mail. Joey Mail. It's all yours.
Thank you.
Come on.
Grinning happily, Pete and Joey rush out to a parking lot. Soon after, they walk along a busy downtown street. Pretty girls are everywhere. The two friends gaze into store windows. Stop at a car dealership to admire some used cars. Later, they rent a tiny apartment. They adorn the walls with movie star posters and nude pinups. One day at work, Pete watches Nicole walk across the factory floor. The other men smile lewdly as she stands beside a supervisor, jotting down figures on her clipboard. Later, in the cafeteria, Pete stares at Nicole as she enters in a form-fitting top.
Boy, doesn't that broad think she's something.
Ah, she's only up for what she can get.
Well, she can get it from me anytime.
I can take her out if I want it.
Listen, I met this real nice girl named Betty. Took her home, the whole bit. So I was thinking, maybe you go out with her girlfriend. What do you think?
I don't know. What she look like?
Nice, real nice, no kidding.
Yeah, okay. Why not?
Good. Fix it up.
Later, they stare at a waitress through a restaurant window.
I don't know, not bad.
You mean not bad? Take a look.
Yeah. Oh, what's her name?
Selena or something.
Okay. Let's see what Selena's got.
All right.
Soon after, Betty and Selena join them in the car.
Not kidding, Joey. Every time Grace gets a little headache, she goes home.
Hey, girl, say something. What about this one guy? Don't he say nothing?
Nothing. Besides, I told you what I thought was going on there.
Oh, Juan's the chink who runs the joint. He's making it with one of the brats there.
Well, I'd rather die. She gets away.
Their chatter bores Pete.
You know what Grace did last Friday, Joey?
No, what, honey?
Oh, this is really terrible.
Oh, I just hate her.
She's really stupid, too. She never does anything right.
Later, they park in a secluded area.
I know it's her business what she does, only we gotta make up for her. Well, now that ain't fair, is it? I mean, look at tonight. Agnes was off at 8, and there was just me and Sally. You know, what are you gonna do?
Well, I told you, you gotta jock up more, honey.
Well, I don't know. It's not that easy, you know.
Come on, Pete, let's take a walk, huh?
Want somebody to hold your hand?
Ha ha, you're a riot, man.
Pete and Joey get out of the car. As they walk away, Selena smiles at Betty.
Do you like him?
I think he's really cute.
Do you?
Nearby.
Well? Well, what?
They take a leak on a fence.
She hasn't said anything to me except hi when we met.
All right, shh, shh.
All they do is yak with each other.
Okay. And they'll hear us.
Later.
No, come on, take it easy, Joey. I haven't finished my Coke.
Come on, Beth. No, what the hell?
Come on, in a minute, eh?
Well, if you can't drink it, throw it away.
What, can't you wait?
No.
As they start necking, Pete sneaks an awkward look at Selena, who keeps drinking her pop.
Oh.
Joey and Betty recline on the front seat. Selena puffs on a cigarette.
Joey, be careful, you'll rip it.
Pete stretches and drops his arm around Selena.
Hey, how you guys doing back there?
Selena flashes a smile at Pete.
Joey.
As the convertible top rises, Pete chucks away Selena's pop and takes her in his arms.
Yes, I used to feel so lonesome.
The next day, the four rubberneck as they drive around a swanky neighborhood.
Eyes like stars, face of an angel, with the moonlight in your hair. Tell me, darling, that you love me now. Whisper softly in
later, Joey perches atop a lakeside rock outcrop. The women hang back, high atop a nearby bluff. But Pete scrambles over to Joey.
You're the true love of my heart, and now I know we'll never part.
Joey waves for the women to join them. Later, he playfully tackles Betty in a lakeside park. As the afternoon shadows deepen, the two couples walk along a busy street, talking.
Tell me that you'll never leave me. It's the word I long to hear.
Early the next morning, Pete sleeps in bed. Joey switches on a light and checks the alarm clock.
Come on, Pete.
Piss off.
It's 6:30.
I'm not going to work today.
Okay, suit yourself.
Joey puts on his shirt.
Jeez, fuck that damn.
Pete rolls over wearily.
Hey, Pete, you can't take no day off. We only been there a month. You think they're not gonna know something's up?
I don't give a damn. Can't go horsing around with broads half the night and then drag my butt out of bed a couple hours later. All that dumb Selena does is talk. Last night she told me about her mother, her brother's hernia operation, and Christ knows what.
I thought you were really getting to like her.
Yeah, what I need is someone like that, Nicole. Oh, if I only had that dame here in bed.
Come on, you crazy fucker. Get up.
Something inside of me says, you don't feel like piling boxes today, Peter. And I agree. So you'll convey my regrets to dear old Frenchie and tell him...
Yeah, and tell him what?
Well, tell him to kiss my ass. I don't care what you tell him.
Okay.
Pete looks up when Joey leaves. Later at the plant.
What you tell him anyway?
Guess what you said? That you weren't feeling so hot. So he told me to get on the phone and get you down here or else.
Oh, Joey, I should have said I was sick, real sick. What'd
time is it?
About after 11.
Right. I feel like I've been working 10 hours already. This ain't any better than being back home.
Pete looks up as a forklift backs past him.
Hey, how do you work that thing?
Oh, come on, come on. Gotta get another load, boy. Hey, McGraw, get back to work. Don't bother those guys on the trucks. You're not smart enough to drive them anyway.
Later, Pete and Joey punch out.
There! Let's just get out of here.
Grab a beer.
Traffic snarls the downtown streets as the two drink draft beer in a tavern. Pete makes some notes.
Hey, Pete.
Hmm.
How much you figure Frenchie makes?
100, maybe 100 and a quarter.
Hey, that's pretty good money, huh?
Considering he just stands there watching us tear our guts out.
Yeah. You know what? I bet if we stuck it out there for a couple of years, we could make the same kind of money.
Oh, no way. I'm going to be around there a couple of years. That job don't amount to nothing better than we had back home.
Yeah, well, I never made no $80 a week back home, and neither did you. Besides, I've had a lot worse jobs. Remember that job I had tarring roofs? Oh, Jesus, that was a rotten job. I used to break out in a rash all over. Oh.
Okay, listen to this. I'll figure it out.
You listening?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Okay, it takes 3 seconds to stack a case, right?
Yeah, I guess
right, okay. So in 1 minute, you've stacked about 20 cases, huh?
Huh? Hmm?
You know how many that is in 1 hour? 1,200. Now in 8 hours, that's 9,600. 9,600 cases every day. So in the 2 months we've been working there, we've stacked, now get this, 304,000 cases each. That's over 250,000.
What about?
What about it? For what? That's what I want to know. For what?
What do you mean, for what?
Hmm? All right, tell me something. Could you go and see those cases right now if you wanted to?
Of course not.
All right, well, that's what I'm talking about. Every day is the same thing. The same bottles go in the same machines. They go in the same cases. Huh?
I know, but what are you talking about?
Well, can't you see there ain't nothing happening? Hmm? That everything keeps going around in the same stupid circle, doing the same stupid thing over and over, and there ain't nothing happening? Huh? You can't see what you've done. There ain't nothing there. Don't you understand that?
What am I supposed to see? A job's a job. Work's work.
Look, I'll show you, okay? Forget it, please.
He lines up some glasses.
Don't go into it again, because I haven't got the slightest idea what you're talking about. Well, can't you see I'm trying to tell you? I don't know what I'm trying to tell you.
Pete, you'll never change. You'll never change. Did you give up all these big ideas? Huh? Okay, so they ain't the greatest jobs in the world, but I don't see anybody walking through that door giving us anything else. Huh? And don't forget, it was your idea that everything was going to be great. Everything was going to be fine. Remember?
Yeah, you just don't know what I'm talking about.
You bet I don't.
Jesus.
Every job we get, you're not satisfied with it. I don't care what's wrong with the job. It's done all right by me, and you too.
I just want to do something that matters. Something that shows for myself. It says I was there. Peter McGraw was there.
Oh, that's great. Peter McGraw was there.
It doesn't matter. What the hell?
One day at work, Pete walks past stacked pallets of cases. He smacks one with his fist as he passes. He contemplates a nearby forklift. Looking around warily, he steps toward the machine. Pete climbs aboard the forklift and studies its controls. When he pulls a lever, the truck lifts a huge stack of cases. the cases rise higher. As Pete fumbles with the controls, Nicole approaches.
Do you know where is Monsieur Laroche?
Pete stares at her.
Who?
Monsieur Laroche.
Oh, Frenchie. I think he's down at the other end.
Thank you.
She smiles and walks off. Pete drives the forklift forward and knocks over a stack of crates. Nicole turns to look, then wanders away. Later, at the apartment.
So there I am, just lying there, see? Crates all over the place, my head spinning round and round. So I open my eyes, and there they are. Those two great, big, beautiful things just hanging there. Are you all right, she says.
So what'd you say to her?
Couldn't think of anything, so I just said, yeah.
Oh, Pete, you missed your big chance then. You should have moved right in.
Don't worry. The ice is broken now. In fact, I think she kind of likes me.
So what'd the frog have to say?
Nothing. Just told me to keep my ass off the machines, that's all.
How much damage to the trucks?
Pranged up the front a little. You know, Joey, you can't win. You'd think they'd show a little appreciation for me trying to better myself.
Joey applies some aftershave.
Take it easy. You smell like a whorehouse.
Betts really likes this stuff.
What? Her again tonight?
Yeah, what the hell? A few laughs. Hey, do you want me to get Betts to phone up Selena? Sort of make it a foursome?
Yeah, that piece of fluff. Yeah. I think I'll ask Nicole out tomorrow.
Yeah?
Pete nods thoughtfully. Next day in the cafeteria, Joey and his cronies watch wide-eyed as Pete chats with Nicole beside the pop machine.
Ever thought Pete had it in the make?
No way. A finny don't.
You're on.
Yeah, he did it. I can just tell by the way, by his grin there.
Finn.
Pete approaches their table and takes a seat.
So what happened?
Well? Come on, Pete.
So what happened?
Give it to me. Come on.
Come on, come on, come on, come on!
What happened? Kim!
What happened?
Well,
Kim!
Yeah!
Yeah!
I don't know, Pete!
I don't believe it.
No.
Hey, when's it for? When's it for, Pete?
Friday night.
He's so
beautiful.
Hey, look, you gotta take her out in my car, eh, Pete? Huh? Yeah, you can't take her out in Joey's old heat.
It's not in mine.
You gotta get some new clothes, too. She's a real star dresser, okay?
Later, Pete goes shopping for a suit with Joey and the others. When Friday night arrives, cars jam Young Street. Pete drives a borrowed car with Nicole beside him in a low-cut dress. Peering into the rearview mirror, Pete sees Joey and the boys riding close behind in Joey's Jalopy. As Joey stays close, Pete nervously watches the mirror. Later, Nicole flaunts her stunning cleavage on a nightclub dance floor. Sitting alone at a table, Pete mournfully watches her gyrating body. As the night wears on, Nicole keeps dancing as Pete glumly drinks beer after beer. Later, Pete escorts Nicole home.
I really had a super time tonight.
Yeah, me too. I'm gonna have to learn to do a few of those dances myself one of these days.
Yeah? Thanks again, Petey. I would invite you in for a cup of coffee. Only I got this girlfriend of mine staying over for the night.
Oh, that's okay. Just a minute now.
Night-night.
Pete is stunned when she shuts the door in his face.
Bitch.
Fuming, he leaves the building. Then ducks for cover as he sees Joey and the boys parked nearby.
Boy, there goes the last light.
Yeah, lucky bastard. Oh, Pete's gonna have his hands full tonight, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Pete tries to return inside, but the door's locked. hangs around outside, smoking a cigarette. A ferry arrives at the Toronto Islands. As Joey strums his guitar, Betty and Selena giggle, and Pete ogles a nearby blonde. When the blonde notices Pete staring at her, she moves away. Pete watches the blonde's supple walk as she retreats. He turns to Joey.
Let's take a walk.
Okay.
What's the matter, Peter? Don't you like our company?
Oh, I've been laying here thinking about you.
Oh, sure. Tell us another one.
Well, why can't we come with you?
Okay, yeah. Okay. Come on, then, if you have to.
Yeah, who wants to if you're going to act like that?
Oh, come on, let's go.
Well, hey, listen, don't be too long, eh? Because we're going to make some sandwiches.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
Their heads crowned in hair curlers, the girls recline on a blanket. Pete and Joey walk together.
What's up? All they do is talk. Talking two broads talk at the same time and know what each other's saying. You know how? They don't say anything, that's all.
What are you going on about anyway? What's the matter with you?
When we first came here, things were great. We had some good times together. Then you met her and you can't keep your nose out of it for 1 minute.
Well, what else is there to do?
I think we should blow the place. Head for the West Coast.
But we haven't got any money, remember? Hey, Pete. Let's me and you go out by ourselves tonight. Really live it up. No broads, no nothing. Just the two of us. What do you say?
Now you're talking.
That night, Pete and Joey whoop it up in a tavern. Both men smile as they dance energetically to the down-home music. Joey sit down together.
Lord, thunder, and Jesus, I know how to do it.
Yeah?
You ought to see me go when I really do it.
Come here, cigarette.
By the Jesus, I can go, I tell you.
The manager approaches them.
What for? What are we doing? We're just having a nice time. But I'm afraid we ain't bothering nobody.
What's the problem?
Huh? Just the language. Keep the language.
What language?
You gotta speak one
what
kind
he's
of
saying.
Language.
What's he saying?
Jesus.
Jesus?
Yeah.
What's wrong with Jesus?
You Lord keep the language down. What's the American fault?
So what's wrong with the language?
Lots is wrong with the language. You keep the language down.
You looking for trouble?
I'm not looking for trouble. No, I work here.
You work? Huh? I mean, if he wants problems...
Okay, we'll leave it alone.
If he wants trouble, we'll give him trouble.
No, we don't want no trouble. Okay, we'll be quiet. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
The manager steps away, but Pete is still angry.
I don't put up with that. You know that.
Come on, have a beer. Have a beer. Come on, now. Don't be like that.
Great.
Have fun, man. Look, everybody's looking at you. Come on. Drink. Have fun.
Later, the two enter the men's room.
Hey, did you ever scare the piss out of him?
Yeah. You and me, we could have taken on the whole club.
I'll say.
Pete sips on a bottle of scotch, then hands it to Joey.
Hey, did you see that one I was talking to at the blonde? She's almost as good as...
When Pete rumples Joey's hair, Joey tries to comb it back into place.
Joey!
The two friends sit on the floor together.
You know, I think I'll phone up Betts.
Pete stares at him.
Yeah. Huh? Now, what do you want to go and do that for? Can't you leave that broad alone for just one night? Ooh, you're slipping. No, I really love her.
Oh, bullshit.
I mean, Vince is a great guy,
you know. Hey, but we got a lot of things to do. Hey, remember all the things we talked about? Huh?
Yeah, Peter. I've been meaning to talk to you about that. Me and Vince were... Well, we're going to get married.
Pete is shocked.
Oh, what the hell for? I mean, Christ, Joey, we just got here a few months ago. We haven't even started yet. We haven't done anything.
Well, I know. I want to wait, but it's Beth. She's knocked up and she's going to have a kid.
Oh, you crazy bastard. You crazy bastard.
Well, what the hell? I mean, everybody's got to go sometime or another, Pete.
Pete gets up and thinks of smashing the bottle.
Look.
He crouches beside Joey.
It's not too late. So we just go to Vancouver a little bit early, that's all.
But what'll happen to her and the kid?
Oh, lots of dames get knocked up. They got agencies to take care of that kind of thing. Hey, you just gotta stall her, okay?
No, I can't do that, Pete.
Oh, come on, you gotta do it. Look, what about us, huh? We made a lot of plans, remember?
Yeah, I remember, Pete, but this is different. I mean, I just can't do that. If that's the way you feel, maybe you should go on by yourself.
Myself?
Yeah, I mean, ain't no use of you messing up all your plans just because of me.
Pete considers this idea.
Okay. You ruin your life if you want, buddy boy. But I'm on the move. So I got places to go and things to do and plans. And you think I need you?
Ah, Pete.
Sometime later,
groom, ladies and gentlemen.
At the wedding reception, as the guests drink a toast, Joey looks at Betty, who pouts resentfully.
Now, for those of you who don't know me here, I'm Betty's Uncle Art.
Selena smiles and waves at Pete.
See the proceedings here today. And now we're going to hear a few words from the best man.
Oh.
But Joey interrupts.
Quite a word, right.
Joey,
right.
Shut up. Joey,
don't. Well, I got to say something.
You don't have to say anything. Just shut up and sit down.
Well, I do.
Say anything.
Listen, I was...
Joey, you'll get your chance to speak later. Right now, we're going to hear from the best man.
Oh. I never saw a groom so anxious in my life.
Betty glowers sullenly.
Well, I don't have a lot to say. I just hope that Toronto is as good to all of us Easterners as it's been to Joey. So I'd just like you to join me in a toast to a very lovely bride, and I hope that all the days will be as happy as this one.
Okay, Joey, now you can say your bit.
Oh, right. Yeah. A little bit. Come on, up you go.
No.
Betty resists standing beside Joey.
Come on, up you go.
He pulls her to her feet.
Come on, Bet. Isn't she a sweetheart?
Oh. You're lovely.
Well, it's like old Pete said, I haven't got a hell of a lot to say. But, well, I know what y'all been thinking.
A guest smirks.
Well, let me tell you, I am...
Pete averts his gaze.
I don't really care.
Joey, no.
No, I've got to say this. Now, it's true that me and Bess is going to have us a little family. But that ain't the reason we're getting married.
Betty smiles at him.
Because that's just the way we feel for each other. I mean, we would have made it anyway. Come on, baby. And, well, that's just the way we feel for each other. And that's all. Thank you very much.
Pete doesn't clap or smile. Later, when the bride and groom are alone...
What'd you have to go and tell everybody for anyway?
Oh, well, listen, kid. I mean, 7 months from now, I mean, everybody's going to know about it anyway. I mean, now it's right out in the air and everything's in the open.
Betty smiles reluctantly.
Listen, I got to go see Pete for a minute, okay? And I'll be right back. So you stay there and just look as pretty as you are. Okay? Be right back, Todd.
Betty moodily watches him walk away. Joey and Pete meet nearby.
Well, tonight's the big night.
Yep.
You get to do anything you want with it.
Hey, listen, have you got any money?
Yeah, I got about 20 bucks. Yeah.
I don't want to worry bits or nothing, but I ran a little short. Bought a little bit too much booze. Could really use it.
Sure. There you go.
Pete gives him the money.
Hey, thanks, buddy. Really. Hey, listen now. No hard feelings, huh?
Ah, come on, you hamburger.
Joey claps Pete on the shoulder as he walks away.
Hey, Pete.
Joey grins fondly at his friend. Sometime later, Pete hangs around outside a strip bar. He walks along a sidewalk, hands thrust in his jacket pockets. In a bar, he stares pensively into space. Smoke from his cigarette curls around his face. Languishes outside on a porch, absently flicking the ash off a cigarette as he gazes into the distance. One night, he looks up at a towering modern apartment building. Inside, he walks along a hallway, checking apartment numbers. Betty answers his knock.
Hi.
Hi.
All right.
How's the bride?
I'm all right. Come on in. It's about time. I told Joey to have you over for dinner 2 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, he mentioned it to me, but I figured you'd still be getting settled in and everything.
No, not really. Come on in. See the place.
She escorts him into the living room.
What do you think?
Well, it's nice. Real nice.
You like it? Yeah, well, you know, there's still a few things to move around. We got some things to come yet, but we're getting there. Go on, sit down.
Pete sits on a couch.
Hi, Ben.
Where's Joey?
He's out getting beer. I'll be back in a minute. Sally says she ain't seen you since the wedding.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, I've been kind of busy. I'm going to give her a call one of these days, though.
That'd be nice. Well, anyway, you just sit there and make yourself comfortable, because I'm going to make some supper. Hope you like craft dinner.
Yeah, I make it all the time.
Joey arrives home.
Hey, how's it going, Peter? Didn't you get a beer yet? Hey, Beth, how come you didn't give Pete a beer?
How the hell can I give him one when he ain't brought them home yet?
There's still a couple left in the fridge.
As Joey sits down, he looks expectantly at Pete.
Well, what do you think?
Terrific. Where'd you get all this stuff?
I got it in the back of the TV guide. 3 rooms of furniture. $479 and change.
$479?
Yes, we're twice that. Take a look at this.
Joey turns on Muzak.
It never stops. I can get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. Music, just like that.
You know, I don't even have to take out the garbage. I walk 10 feet down that hall. Throw it in some shoe. Where she goes, I don't know. This. You're not going to believe it, Pete.
Are you ready?
Joey switches on a large console TV.
Here she comes. Ta-da!
Holy Christ, color. Hey, if only the folks back home could see you now, huh?
Ooh, see a few.
The balcony. Have you seen the balcony yet?
You haven't?
No.
Come on. Gretz, what's the matter? Didn't you show him nothing?
Outside, they gaze at the lights far below.
Quite a view, huh?
Christ, yeah.
Terrific. Everything. Yeah, me and old Betts are doing pretty good. We talked it over last night. Probably buy us a new car in the spring. Charger, something like that.
I don't get it, though. I mean, how'd you do it? Where'd you get all the money?
Money? Who needs money? Heck, all this stuff's on time, Pete. I don't have to make my first payment until October sometime.
Next day at work. A manager takes Pete and Joey aside.
Look, personally, I don't like letting nobody go. But I don't have much to say in it. I mean, summer's over, so we ain't selling so much. Maybe in a couple of months, things will be picking up again. So if you want to check with us then, I'm sorry, but that's how it is.
Soon after, Joey and Pete storm into a locker room to collect their possessions. Pete throws aside a chair.
Now what, man? That's
on
furniture, the whole business.
Come on.
Oh, yeah, it's okay for you, but what about me? I got a wife and a kid coming on.
They leave the building.
What am I going to tell Betty, Pete? You shouldn't have told him off.
The hell with it.
Come on. Oh, yeah, that's okay for you to say, but I got to face her, you know. Bastards.
Soon after.
Joey, not your job.
Well, now listen, now we didn't get fired. I mean, they'll probably call us back in a couple weeks.
Joey, we can't afford to have you off work for a couple of weeks. Honey, what are we gonna do?
Now listen, don't worry, babe. Now I'll get something.
Well, you're gonna have to, Joey, because I can't go on working much longer, you know.
No, don't.
I mean it.
I know. Now don't you worry. Oh, me and Pete, we was thinking today. Well, we might even go into business by ourselves.
What kind of business could you guys go into?
What kind of business? Hell, there's lots. I was just looking here at this one here. Look.
Plastic laminating. $12 an hour. Earn up to $100 a week selling shoes in your own neighborhood.
I can do that,
Joy.
And you could help, huh?
Yeah.
You could be a secretary.
I better blow.
No, wait a minute. She'll be okay. Let's have a couple more beers.
Betty angrily does dishes in the kitchen.
I'll tell you what, Pete. First thing tomorrow morning, we'll get up and we'll go down and get us a couple of jobs. Eh?
Sure, I'm easy. Maybe you can find us another one like you did before.
I got us that one pretty quick, didn't I? Eh? Of course, it wasn't too good. I still got them fast enough.
Sometime later, Joey works at a car wash. Pete works there too. The two men toil side by side, soaping cars with rags.
Hey, Pete boy!
When Joey squirts soapy water at Pete, he grins. Later, they ride on the subway.
How'd we do last week?
About 50 bucks, I guess.
We're gonna have to do better than that.
Yeah, I know. Old Betty's gonna have to stop work pretty soon, you know.
You send that letter to the employment yet?
Say what?
I said, did you send that letter to the employment yet?
Oh, yeah.
Later, curious children watch from a porch as Pete helps Joey and Betty move.
There's it here. The gray one.
115?
Yeah. She wanted 25, but I got her down.
Yeah?
Yeah. Don't tell her that you're going to live here or anything, Pete. You know,
what?
Like you're my cousin or something.
What?
A sign on the shabby house reads, rooms for rent. The three carry items up the front steps.
You all right, Betty? Better on the inside.
Yeah.
Inside, the three struggle upstairs with their loads.
Come on.
policeman passes them on his way down. Joey carries end tables into a room.
Now this is it.
Betty looks around the tiny room.
Huh? Not bad, eh? See, Pete, you can sleep in here. And the way I figured is maybe we could get a blanket or a sheet or something and put that down, and then you could have some privacy. Huh? It'll be a real gas, no kidding. Three of us together?
Betty is depressed at the prospect.
Sure, I don't need much room. Just clean the place up a bit. It'll be fine.
Right, and look at all the money that we're going to save, huh? Bets? Oh, what's the matter, honey? Now, listen. This isn't going to be for very long. I know this isn't much. But all it's just going to have to do right now until we get on our feet. I mean, hell, we were going to move anyway into that nice apartment next year. And with a swimming pool and everything. Do you remember all that, babe? Huh?
It stinks in here.
Oh, great.
Joey turns away, dispirited. Pete looks out a window toward the barking. In the middle of the night,
Joey, why doesn't she shut up?
Come on back to sleep, bitch.
Pete tosses and turns and stares at the ceiling, trying to get to sleep. Next day, the three go for a walk in Allen Gardens. An old man sits nearby, puffing on a cigar. Betty and the two men listen to a busker.
Things are gonna be the way they were before. Love's gonna live here again. I hear bells ringing, I hear birds singing. Love's gonna live here again.
A drunk weaves toward them.
And I know that those days are coming. Love's gonna live here.
The man joins the circle of listeners.
Love's gonna live here.
Joey drums enthusiastically on his knees.
No more loneliness, only happiness.
When Pete tickles Betty under the chin, she smiles. And Joey steals a kiss.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes, I certainly did like that one.
Yeah, I'm going to get some of that wine.
Hey, yeah, good idea.
Joey approaches a couple of winos.
Hey, Chief. Can I have a little snort of that? Yeah, just a little one, huh?
Get them, guys. They drink something.
Here you go, buddy. You dropped some of your money.
Yeah, I got all pocket.
Get them, guys. Let's drink. Okay?
Pete joins them.
Hey, I get a bowl of goof. If you want to split, you will.
I mean, that one. I don't.
I'm a
joker. I don't go for
you. I guess we all are.
Get on it.
One of the winos drops his bottle.
Oh, no.
The wino angrily throws his coat at Pete, who picks it up and folds it. Betty watches as Joey squats beside the broken bottle. A few people hang around, listening to the music. Stands with Betty, Pete, and Joey.
Joey, nobody?
Betty stares at the ground, depressed.
Sing me back home before I die.
The autumn leaves are almost gone from the trees.
Before I die. Oh.
On a rainy day, Pete and Joey walk beside some railroad tracks. Newspaper in hand, Joey hangs up the receiver in a phone booth and shakes his head at Pete. The two walk through an industrial area. Later, Joey and Pete amble along a rail line. Pete glumly hangs up a payphone. Afterward, the two friends stand at the edge of Lake Ontario, watching ghostly freighters pass in the mist. Stands on the fire escape, staring into space. Collar turned up against the cold, Pete walks the streets. Later, as Joey lounges at home, Pete waits at a traffic light. As Joey strums his guitar, Betty arrives home.
Hi. Hi. Hey, was that job today?
No, the car wouldn't start. Battery or something.
Why didn't you take a bus?
You didn't leave me any money, remember? How come you're...
I'm sick again today. I don't think I'm going to be there much longer.
Joey takes a swig of beer and offers the bottle to Betty, who accepts it and drinks. Joey studies his wife's dejected expression. In a bowling alley, at the back of the lanes, Pete shoves balls into the return chute and drops bowling pins into a metal frame. Across the alley, half a dozen other men are doing the same thing. When another ball arrives, Pete wearily sets up the pins again. Later, at the house, cartoons play on the television screen. Betty cuts Joey's hair as he stares at the screen.
Hey, Pete, how's she going?
Okay, I guess.
Pete takes off his coat, throws it aside, and stalks into the kitchen. Gaunt and disheveled, Betty watches as he opens the fridge.
Is this all we got here?
Yeah, she's getting pretty low.
Pete drinks from a quart of milk. As he sits down, he eats a sandwich.
Are you gonna have yourself a brew?
Maybe later.
Betty enters the kitchen.
Hey, Pete. You got any money?
Couple of bucks.
Because we haven't got anything to eat, you know.
I gave you $3 yesterday.
Yeah, I know, but you can't do much with $3.
Pete digs into a pocket and hands her the money.
That's the last of it. There ain't no more.
Thanks.
How about you, Joey? You have any luck?
Not right away. A couple of places told me to come back in a few weeks. So things will start to pick up then.
You're going to have to get something pretty damn soon. These crummy jobs can't keep the three of us going.
I've been looking.
Pete stands and crosses the kitchen.
Letter came from the unemployment today. Said we ain't been working long enough to get benefits. It's really great.
Pete plays the record he bought. He sits down again and stares off into space, listening to the music. Betty listens too. Joey stares blankly. Pete gazes across the kitchen. Next morning, snow is falling. Fluffy flakes accumulate quickly. The snow collects on Joey's car. Joey peers outside, holding a beer bottle. Christmas decorations adorn the streets. Pete gazes into a department store window display where mechanized dummies slowly dance wearing holiday finery. Later, Pete walks along the dimly lit hallway that leads to the apartment. When he enters, he surprises Joey and Betty making love. Betty hurriedly covers up.
Can't you knock? Well, look, I'm sorry. How am I supposed to know?
Well, you can knock. That's how you can know.
Look, you know, I'm not going to start knocking every time I walk in here. You know, if you got a little business to take care of, pick a better time.
Oh, that's a bloody laugh. Every time I turn around, I see you.
Well, fine. So next time you want to tear off a little piece, let me know, and I'll take a walk, okay?
Oh, Jesus Christ, Peter, who the hell do you think you are?
Well, I'm the other guy who lives here, remember? The one who works.
What's that supposed to mean?
Just what I said. You know, you haven't brought any money in here in the last 3 weeks since we left the car wash. So don't you give me a lot of crap about walking in here.
Yeah, well, anytime you don't like it, you can leave, you know.
Oh.
Yeah.
How many are you going to live on? You gonna eat that fancy color TV set? You do a real laugh. $500 TV and not a pot to piss in.
Listen, I've been looking for work.
Well, sure you have. All you do anymore is sit in that chair, drink beer, and watch TV.
That's a goddamn lie and you know it.
Is it? Well, what have you done? Come on, tell me.
What?
Come on, tell me.
All right, there's been a lot of things in. Downtown.
Are you just going to stand there and take that from him?
Well, I mean, Pete doesn't mean it anyway.
Pete glares at him coldly. Then grabs his coat and storms out. Later, in the dark, Pete stands beside some train tracks as a train hurtles past an arm length away. One day, Pete and Joey trudge through the snow together. Pete listens as Joey chatters in his ear. Pete laughs when Joey cracks a joke. carries a bag full of flyers slung over his shoulder.
Look around. Tell me what is there to be found. You're rolling in.
They hurry from door to door in a wealthy neighborhood, delivering flyers.
Another victim of the rainbow. Your highway hopes have dragged you here.
Later, they dump some flyers into a trash can.
Will cost you dear.
As the shadows begin to lengthen,
your kind makes the trip.
They toss the remaining flyers off a footbridge. The colored flyers flutter to the ground like autumn leaves. Later, they run around like boys, happily pelting each other with snowballs. Pete scoops up snow and throws it at Joey, who slips and falls, covering himself in snow. The two men laugh as they wrestle.
Another victim of the rainbow. Another victim.
Joey throws a last snowball as they walk away. Later, at City Hall, the modern semicircular buildings tower above a large ice rink thronged with skaters. Nearby, Pete and Joey sit on a bench. A Salvation Army band plays on a street corner. Pete and Joey watch the busy traffic on Queen Street. The streets are crowded with Christmas shoppers. Pete and Joey share a cigarette. Two friends talk in front of a grocery store. Inside, they each fill their grocery carts to the brim.
Boy, caviar, shrimp, pickled eggs, and artichokes. Pete, I'm telling you, we're going to have one fine time tonight.
Damn right. I always wanted to try some of this stuff. Might as well hang for caviar as hot dogs.
Right, right. Listen, this is enough. Let's go over there and get a couple of bags of those potato chips for Betts.
Yeah, yeah, okay. I'll tell you what. Now, both wagons are full. While he's adding up the second one, you go out with the first, and I'll just tell him I'm going out to give you a hand, and then we'll just take off, okay?
Right. Gotcha.
They wheel their carts across the store. At the checkout, Pete watches nervously as a clerk rings in Joey's purchases. Joey stands beside Pete, waiting for the clerk to finish.
That'll be $48.07, sir.
Oh, you shouldn't have rung it right up. No, we're together.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir.
I'll start taking these things out to the car. Okay, Ralph? And you settle up with him.
Joey hurries out with two bags.
Oh, I'll just take this out and I'll come back
and
I'll pay.
Here, let me give you a hand.
No, it's all right. There's no trouble.
Fine. No trouble. All right.
The husky young bag boy watches uncertainly as Pete heads for the door. He hurries after Pete. Outside, Joey tries to start the old Chevy as Pete shoves his bags into the car.
Come on. Let's get suspicious. Come on, I'm here.
The bag boy runs outside.
Hey, you guys gonna pay for this or what?
Yeah, I'll be there in a minute, okay?
When the car starts, Pete jumps in and they race out of the parking lot with the bag boy in pursuit.
Hey! Come back here!
What are you doing to it?
Get out of here!
He yanks Pete out of the stalled car and starts punching him.
Joey!
Joey joins the fray. But the bag boy quickly overpowers him. He socks Joey in the mouth and knocks him down. Then continues pounding Pete.
Joey!
Thank my gosh!
Get him down!
Joey grabs a tire iron. As the bag boy hammers Pete, Joey clubs him in the head, knocking him unconscious. Pete checks the boy's condition.
You stupid, dumb kid. Why don't you give up a lot of the lousy groceries? Come on, get up. Come on. Get in there.
Pete shoves Joey into the car.
Go, go, come on. Come on.
They speed off, leaving the bag boy sprawled in the slush. Soon after, they drive along a street. Joey glances nervously at Pete.
You have to go and hit him with that iron fork. Did you see what you did to him?
Geez, he was clobbering us. Besides, I didn't mean to hit him that hard.
Stop at the first phone you come to.
What for?
So we can call somebody. We just can't leave him lying there. He could die, you know.
Later, at a phone booth.
Yeah, he's just laying there in a parking lot. He's hurt pretty bad.
Pete gets into the car.
We won't be able to go home tonight in case someone got the license number. So we'll just hide out for tonight and we'll go back in the morning. Yeah, let's go. Come on. I know a good place down by the lake.
Later, they drive down a road marked Private Road. Use at your own risk. At sunrise, the car is parked beside the lake. Downtown skyscrapers loom in the distance. Pete and Joey sleep in the front seat. Joey awakens. He nudges Pete. When they return to the rooming house, they find a stack of furniture and cardboard boxes outside on the sidewalk.
Hey, that's my stuff out there. What the hell's going on? Take it easy. Be careful.
As Joey hurries toward the house, Pete stays outside, looking through the pile.
Stop, please. Listen, you just can't do anything. You damn well, please. You can't throw people's stuff out in the street like that.
Yeah, well, the cops are in the store looking for you guys. If you don't get out of here, they're going to call them back.
Ah, cops,
come on.
Get here, don't go back.
Joey returns to the sidewalk.
We've been kicked out. They just plunked us right here in the middle of the street.
The cops were here.
So what? Look at all this stuff. What am I going to do, Pete?
Well, you're forgetting what the hell happened last night. Come on, pull yourself together. Come on. Where's Betty?
I don't know. She said something about you went over to her aunt and uncle's or something.
Come on, we got to get out of here now.
I can't. All this stuff is going to get ruined and warped nivety.
So you want to go to jail over some crummy furniture?
Okay, let's go get Betsy.
Come on. Oh, you can't take Betty.
Why?
She's pregnant. We got to move fast.
I can't leave her, Pete.
Yeah. She'll be okay. You ain't no good to anybody like this. Come on. Her aunt and uncle will take care of her. Huh? Won't they?
Yeah, I guess.
Sure they will. Huh? Besides, it's not like you're leaving her. Just so you can get something behind you. Some money. Joey, this is a tough town. There's other towns we just gotta find. You and me.
Joey is reluctant.
We'll hop the television set. Huh? It'll take us to the coast.
Joey remains unconvinced. So Pete grabs him by the lapels.
Together we can make it.
Look, it's just as easy as getting in the car. Hmm? Joey, there's nothing else we can do. There's no place else we can go.
Joey nods unhappily.
Come on. Okay, we gotta go.
Soon after, the two drive along an expressway past downtown skyscrapers. Joey stares gloomily out the window.
With the sun in my eyes, my mouth full of laughter and dreams.
Pete looks at Joey from the driver's seat.
But all that I found was concrete and dust. Hard times sold in vending machines. So I'm going.
The countryside, their mood lightens, and the two begin talking again. A snow-covered farm flashes by. The old car speeds along a winding two-lane highway that extends beyond the horizon. This described version of Going Down the Road was created by Audiovision Canada. The narrative description was written by Peter Agnes, narrated by Steve Thamer, and produced by Valerie Hunter and Marco Sorin. Cast: Peter, Doug McGrath. Joey, Paul Bradley. Betty, Jane Eastwood. Selena, Cale Chernin. Nicole, Nicole Moran. Frenchie, Pierre Laroche. Boys at the Plant, Don Steinhaus, Ted Sugar, Ron Martin. With Max Jones, Dennis Bishop, Fred Zimmerman, Stuart Marwick, Mary Black, Sheila White, Ivor Jackson, Stan Ross, Ralph Stroh. Written by William Fruitt. Screenplay by William Fruitt, Donald Shabib. Photographed by Richard Leiterman. Music by Bruce Coburn. Editing, Donald Shabib. Sound, James McCarthy. Produced and directed by Donald Shabib. The End. Produced by Evden Films Limited, with financial assistance from Canadian Film Development Corporation. Evden Films Limited. Copyright 1970.